Well, good evening and Merry Christmas to everyone. On behalf of Woodridge Community Church, I just want to wish everyone here a very Merry Christmas. And to all of our own people and to visitors that may be here, if you've come with someone, we're very glad that you're here. I love the Christmas season. I always have. It's my favorite time of the year, and I look forward to it every year. Now, I would like to be able to tell you that the reason it's my favorite time of year is because of the birth of Jesus. But if I were to say that to you, that wouldn't be completely truthful. I have to tell you, I think that the reason it's my favorite time of the year is because of memories. Memories of Christmases past, and for me, primarily the memories of Christmases of my childhood. I was blessed to grow up in a very loving family that made a big deal out of Christmas every year. And among the best memories for me of my life are Christmas Eves, nights just like tonight, when my whole family, aunts and uncles and cousins and great aunts and great uncles and grandparents would gather at my grandparents' house in Wauwatosa to exchange gifts, share stories, and just generally spend time together. My mom and dad would pile our family, which consisted of them, myself, and my three younger sisters, into our tiny little, it was a robin's egg blue Ford Falcon. And we would be in there, and we'd drive to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And it was a night like tonight, where you've got snow on the ground, and you'd see the lights of all the houses as you passed. And the snow kind of added a magical quality to it. And you're excited because it's Christmas and it's the kid's favorite holiday. And I remember the windows in this little car would get fogged up from all the talking. And my dad would have to shush us down because the windows were so fogged up that you couldn't see out. And at Grandma's house, all of my favorite people were there, my cousins, who I was all very close to, and my most favorite person of all, my grandpa. Grandpa and I were very, very close, and he was, without a doubt, the most influential person in my life. I loved him, and I loved spending time with him, and I got to do that on Christmas Eve. And then there was the eggnog. Oh, the eggnog. My grandma made homemade eggnog from scratch. She had one of these little hand beaters, and she'd beat the eggs up and mix it up with whatever she put in there, and she'd put it in little coffee cups and serve it with just a light sprinkling of nutmeg on top, and it was just the best tasting stuff you've ever had in your life. And to this day, I still go to Pick and Save and buy a thing of Kemp's eggnog just to get a little bit of the remembrance of that in my head. It always makes me think of Grandma, and it always makes me think of Christmas Eve. But then we'd go home, and it was Christmas morning the next day. And my sisters and I would get up very, very early, before dawn a lot of times, and my folks would make us go back to our bedrooms and wait till at least 6 o'clock, please. So we'd wait in there. And then we'd go out to the living room, and there was the tree with tons of presents underneath it. And we could even see Santa's footprints with the fireplace ashes going from the fireplace to the tree. And it was magical. It was incredible. So presents were opened. Toys were played with. Mom would make some kind of a breakfast thing, like an egg-baked casserole thing with eggs and bacon and stuff in it that was delicious. And then you'd go back to playing with toys with the Christmas music on. And we would do that the rest of the day until we fell into bed exhausted. And then you wake up the next morning, December 26th, and Christmas was all done. All done. All the anticipation was over with. The radio stopped playing Christmas music. People stopped saying Merry Christmas. All the cookies, the sausages, and the treats were all gone. Even the eggnog was gone. And within a few days, usually right after New Year's Day, even the tree was gone. Out at the edge of the curb with a trail of dried up pine needles going from the living room out the front door and down the front yard and out to the curb. And you know what? It was always a bit of a letdown. Yeah, I was always kind of left with, is that all there is? After all the buildup and the anticipation and the excitement, it was always kind of a little bit of a letdown. Well, after I became a Christian at the age of 18, I got a deeper understanding of Christmas. And I understood what it meant for the Savior, my Savior, to be born. And I also learned through the years that so much of the Christian life is really about trusting God, putting your faith in Him, and taking Him at His word. Trusting Him for so many things that we can't yet see with our eyes. You know, right now, all of us are relying on faith rather than sight. We're trusting in the sacrifice of His Son, that very baby whose birth we celebrate tonight. We're trusting that sacrifice is for the forgiveness of our sins. We're trusting that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient to reconcile the broken relationship between us and God. Now, I've been thinking about the Christmas story this week and reading it over, and my attention has been drawn to the whole idea of sight and how the sense of sight and eyewitness accounts are so central to the story of Jesus' birth. You know, if you've been here, you know we've been studying on Sunday mornings, we've been going through the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke, which contains probably the most comprehensive account of Jesus' birth anywhere in the Scripture. And as you read that, you see that the sense of sight is in play everywhere. When the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth, to Mary, to tell her that she would be giving birth to a baby whose father was God Himself, Mary saw the angel. There was no faith involved. She saw him, she heard him, she spoke to him, and he spoke back. And then we had the shepherds. Pastor Jesse preached on that this morning. The shepherds saw a multitude of angels. And I loved his description if you were here. A multitude isn't just 50 or 100 or 1,000. A multitude is angels as far as you can see. You can't see the back row. They go on forever. That's a multitude of angels. These shepherds saw this, and they heard them praising God and announcing to them that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem. And then they themselves went to Bethlehem and saw the baby Jesus. They saw God with their own eyes. And in the days following the birth, we've come right up to that point in our reading. We have probably the most touching aspect of sight over faith in all of these accounts. I'm going to read for you Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 33. And you can turn there if you want, but tonight maybe it would be better for you to just close your eyes and listen. This is the word of God. May we hear it and receive it as such. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. So here we have Simeon, a man that the scripture says was righteous and devout. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die without seeing with his own eyes God's Savior. And then along come Mary and Joseph to the temple, ready to present Jesus to the Lord according to the scriptures. And Simeon instantly recognizes who he is and rejoices that he can actually see the Savior. He can see God himself with his own eyes. Now, actually, all the people who lived during the time of Jesus were alive, got to see him. Most of them didn't know who he was, but a good number of them did and were able to appreciate the great privilege they had to actually see God. But that's not the case with us. Nearly 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus was physically here on earth in a body that could be seen by human eyes. Our knowledge of God, our sight of him, comes by faith. But one day, we will see him. Because that baby in the manger grew up to be a man. He grew up to be a sinless man who took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He shed his blood. He died on a Roman cross. And he was raised again from death. And those who in this life have put their faith and trust in him for their salvation will see him. 1 John 3:2 provides Christians with an incredibly wonderful promise. We often just read right over it. It says, Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. We will see him. We often think of Christmas as something that comes once a year, every December 25th. But that's not true. Christmas only happened once. 2,000 years ago, when that baby was born in Bethlehem and the coming was announced to the shepherds, that was Christmas. All we've done since then is celebrate Christmas. We've looked back on it and we've remembered it. But there is another Christmas coming. A Christmas when Jesus will return in the clouds with a trumpet blast and a shout, and every eye will see him. And every knee will bow to him. And Christians, like the promise of 1 John 3:2 says, Christians will be immortal like he is, and we will see him as he is. So Merry Christmas. Enjoy the tree, the lights, the presents, the ham, even the eggnog. But just remember, after it's all over and the Christmas stuff is put away back in the basement in its boxes, that a Christmas is coming that will be more exciting than you could ever imagine. There will be no letdown, and it will never end, and it will be wonderful. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for this yearly reminder of what you did to save us from your wrath. And as we celebrate and remember the first Christmas, we ask that you would fix our eyes on the second Christmas that's coming, when we will be physically with you and able to see you with our own eyes. We long for the day when we will pass from faith to sight, and we will be able to dwell with you forever. Thank you for the promise of the Christmas that is coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.